Well, everybody's not here, but welcome everybody that is here. And all of you who aren't here, welcome also. Welcome to Gita Nagari Dham. The transcendental home of Sri Sri Radha Damodar and their wonderful servants. Our opening session is very important. I wish those that aren't here were here, because undertaking this little journey together, the beginning part is very important. The setting the foundation or setting the direction and the mood for any undertaking is very important. A retreat like we're taking part in together this holiday weekend is something like a pilgrimage. Many of you have gone on pilgrimage before. And when you go on pilgrimage, what are your thoughts? What's the mood or mission of someone that's on a pilgrimage, let's say a holy pilgrimage especially? They're seeking to get closer to God, maybe even have some experience of being closer to God, and so that their whole life can be like that. So that's part of what we're gathered together to do, to seek that experience. In order to have a successful journey in seeking that experience, there are two additional things that have to accompany. One is one has to be in a receiving mood, receptive or receiving mode. Out of so many persons who received an invitation to come on this journey to get closer to God, some of you said yes. Krishna has invited you, come closer to me. And you said yes. So that in itself is receiving. Now, to have a successful journey, getting closer to Krishna, the mode has to be receiving that which Krishna has invited you to experience. A point of emphasis here is what's important, of course, is how you extend yourself, how the effort that you make. We'll be speaking about that part. Now I want to emphasize the receiving part. It's like a relationship. It's not like a relationship, it is a relationship. If you want to deepen your relationship with God, or in this case specifically, deepen your relationship with the Holy Name. When I attended a Japa retreat in Ojai, California, Japa retreat for leaders, meaning persons who have been practicing Krishna consciousness for many, many, many years and have been bearing responsibility of carrying the mission forward, and we don't get so much opportunity to be with one another in a spiritual sharing format, or by design. So that was what was intended. And it was very awesome. I mean, if we added up the number of years of devotees that had been serving Srila Prabhupada's mission, just out of, it was something like 15 of us. I mean, there wasn't one person that was less than 30 years. Some were 40 years times 15. I mean, there's several centuries worth of service in that little room, in that little assembly. They're very, very effective, powerful devotees. So one of the things that we did at the very beginning, just like we're doing right now, was we were asked, what did we ask three questions. One of them is, what did we hope to accomplish? What brought us here? And I said, I want to deepen my relationship with the Holy Name. When you make a commitment to a person, then there's both the what you extend and also what you receive. The give and take is the flow of any relationship. In our case, we're with Krishna, we're giving service. And so with a relationship with the Holy Name, you'll hear this a number of times. Actually, each of the points that I'm going to speak on, you'll hear a number of times. They'll be reinforced again and again. But the mode of service in relation to the Holy Name. Simply chanting as a service to the Holy Name. And what does the Holy Name do? We should be ready to receive that which the Holy Name is extending. Krishna, in the form of His Holy Name, is extending to us. And we should be very open to whatever that is, because that's what relationship is. Especially relationship with God. It's on His terms, because we're the servant and He's the master. So establishing the relationship, deepening that relationship that we already have, or uncovering in this receptive mode. Because many mysteries happen. I've seen it. Many mysterious things happen in weekends like this, where devotees come together. And the journey is, especially with the Holy Name, is very mysterious. And many different things can happen. But the theme of all of it is the relationship with Krishna is deepening. And it can be this way, that way, not necessarily according to our expectations. Sometimes it seems very painful if someone really absorbs themselves. Or a struggle, or, you know, not always hills, sometimes it's valleys. But that's also a relationship if one regards the situation properly. So, Krishna invited you. You said yes. And now say another yes. Or establish, I'm ready. On your terms, Krishna, please show me the way through this chanting of your holy name that I can find myself more close to you in a deeper sense of relationship and connectedness with you in the form of your holy name. So be ready to be in a mood of receiving. We'll speak more about this. And the commitment, of course, spans over our time being together, spans over 5 days, not five full days, because it's only half of today and half of Monday, but 5 days. And so that's, we're all looking around the room. I see a lot of busy people. We're all very busy. But we're taking time out to make this commitment to Krishna. So that's to go more deeply into our chanting. Think of some person that you have associated with some time in the past, and due to circumstance, that relationship has become a little distant. And then there's some thought, gee, I'd like to restore that relationship. So you make a commitment. And then you invest in that relationship with that person. And that's like Murari Chaitanya was sharing with me during Prasadam. He hasn't seen Nanda Kishore in a long time. But, you know, years ago they spent lots of time together, and Nanda Kishore is here. He's fixing the Brahmacharya Ashram bathroom for all of you who are staying over there. So I'm sure it will happen. Some restoring, so if it's committing some time and some energy and some attention. So what to speak of our relationship with Krishna? That is not as strong as it could be, should be, would be. And so we're making a commitment to Krishna and our relationship with Krishna. And when you make some, I'm sure it will happen with Nanda Kishore, although there hasn't been active interaction between the two, the relationship will come to full life again. It'll be like there was no break, although there's been a break in time, because the connection is restored. So we can expect that also, that some spiritual vitality will come. But when that spiritual vitality comes in the course of the weekend, we also have some coverings. Not to mention how many, but some. And those coverings are going to be challenging us. But Krishna is there, because the relationship with Krishna is there, we can deal with those situations. And one of the things that I'll speak about in a few moments is, be ready, be tuned into those moments. It's something that Krishna is giving you a signal for, something that's standing in the way of our relationship with Him. Not His relationship with us, but our relationship with Him. And we'll discuss a little bit more on that. But so it's being in a receptive mode, being in a committed, recommitting in a deeper, much deeper, stronger, sustained way during this weekend. Ideally, that will then carry over. A retreat is like a journey, like, you know, going from point A to point B. Only in our case, it's going from ignorance and darkness and material existence to light. Prabhupada took the title of Back to Godhead from a verse from the Shruti mantras that says Tamasima Jyotir Gama. So the whole verse is Asato Ma Sad Gamaya Tamaso Ma Jyotir Gamaya Mrityor Ma Amrityam Gamaya Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So we're going from one place to another place, from temporary to eternal, from darkness to light, from death to deathlessness. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. That's the commitment. Without the commitment to go to light or to literally to deathlessness, then one won't get there. The journey won't be completed unless we're commencing the journey very clear where we're going, or at least where we would like to go, if Krishna so permits. The Bhagavad Life group, that's Purusha Sukta and Divyambar and Mahatma and some others, have taken this model of japa retreats and other things in a formal retreat setting. And a formal, when you think of a formal, because I had discussed with Purusha Sukta about, I think Gita Nagari is a great place for a retreat setting, because all the components are here. More than all the components are here. Radha Damodar are here. This is their place. But some of the components of going on a retreat, or like what a retreat center would have, is deliberately and consciously one separates oneself from one's daily routine, from the fixed conditioning thing that we do every day. We get up in the morning, and it's good to have some regulation, certainly, and our lives having some pattern to them. But then there's a certain amount of comfort zone, or just mindlessly doing things, mechanically doing things, not introspectively doing things. So retreat is to break away from that comfort zone, both externally and also internally. So one of the retreats that I went on, there was a retreat part where you could speak, and then further deep into the woods was another place where it was silence, you know, Mona. The whole time, whenever people would go there, it would be silent. So there's this solitude that breaks the external connection and allows one to go more internally. So while we are together, we'll have the opportunity to associate with one another, but this is a retreat component that makes it helpful, makes it successful. Some inner reflection and solitude. Something like a gestation space where something can grow and then be born. That's one principle of making a retreat experience effective. Another is entering into the retreat with a beginner's mood. It's important. Of course, just if you take part in the retreat nicely, then that will be your experience. We had a group of devotees that got together in Sharanagati. And it was fewer days than what we have. It was 2.5 days. 2.5 days, Saturday, Sunday, and part of Monday. And there we didn't have, well, yeah. It was one day of preparation, one day 64 round day. And one of the devotees shared the next morning, on Monday morning, that when he joined the Hare Krishna movement, it was because he liked chanting. He was introduced to chanting, and he liked chanting. And so devotees chanting with devotee was even nicer than chanting alone. So he joined the Hare Krishna movement to chant with the devotees. And he was very happy. And then after a little while, there was some very strong emphasis at that time on book distribution. So come join, do your chanting, and then come join the book distribution party. So he joined the book distribution party. And as time passed, it became, chanting was a way to fix yourself so you could have a nice day distributing books. And if the day on book distribution didn't go well, the next morning was to fix your day so you could recover from the day you didn't do well and fix your day for book distribution. And that went on for some years. And it was, then it became, chanting wasn't for chanting, it was, you know, to fix your day. So you could, then other things started coming. Books disappeared and paraphernalia appeared, and then, so you could fix your day to do that. And then that disappeared, and then it was, you know, just, you know, to do all the things that you had to do in life. And that's what chanting became for him. So he was in tears when he said this. He said, having this experience, I felt like I was a new devotee again. And I was chanting because I just love chanting. And chanting in the association of others who love chanting. And that's the Hare Krishna movement I joined. That's why I joined the Hare Krishna movement. So it's hard to just leave behind our mental makeup, because we have one. We've developed one at least. So leave it behind and just be in the mood of beginner. There's new experiences that are awaiting us. And Krishna has invited us for those experiences. So just be ready, like a beginner beginning something fresh and new. Very distinct from what I just described is a doer mentality. The doer mentality is, you know what it is, we all know what it is. Kartaham iti manyate. I'm going to do it. I'm going to have an experience. I'm going to have a breakthrough. It's going to be different because I'm going to do it. And this very much connects with the receptive mode. It's Krishna is going to do it, and this is in an adventure to see what's going to happen. How is the time spent together going to unfold in such a way that by Krishna's plan, we end up closer to him, because there's some obstacles in our heart that are keeping us from being close to him. And if we're really sincere, Krishna will help us overcome those things. So it's exciting, but it's a beginning of something that either we're out of touch with, like this devotee that described his chanting in Canada, and now after 18 years, he's been devotee for 18 years, I feel like I'm, you know, born again Hare Krishna or something. A born again chanter, a new chanter once again. It's very, very moving, because he felt something very strong within him. But it's not because he did it, it's because he said it by the association of all the devotees. So if there's going to be a beginning of something, there has to be a leaving behind of something, or a symbolic death, which doesn't sound nice, but if you think of it in spiritual terms, it is. It's like changing bodies. The body that we had when we first got here has to some degree changed. We're always so as the body is always changing, where is the soul moving on to? And if we're going to move closer to Krishna, we have to leave behind the distant from Krishna mode if we want to experience that, being closer to Krishna. A symbolic death, or the emergence of something new and fresh. That's a retreat. That's the journey that we're on if we do it properly. So as you're going along, put all those things together, and you're going along in the course of this weekend, and there'll be some indications from Krishna. And it could be the positive, some sense of great joy. It could be the opposite, some sense of great contrition and pain or grief. And that's neither is one something that is to be hankered for, the other one something to be avoided. Because if there's some difficulty that we're encountering, that can be something very good. If, you know, like we're always encountering, just we're avoiding it, and so we're staying dull. And Krishna can be helping us to get to directly address that thing. In one of the retreats that Vadahari and I went to, Mother Rasagya was participating, this one in Ojai. And when this was, it was also a 5-day thing, retreat. And when we came to sharing what her 64-round day was, she was in tears practically 3/4 of the day. She said she had such high expectations of what the experience would be. And practically right away she hit a wall called the mind. And the mind was just really blasting her. All the wrong things that she had done in her life as a devotee, before she was a devotee, and you know, it went on and on and on, and she was crying, she said. And there was no relief. It just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming, and she felt horrible. Not just that, you know, the experience was horrible, but she felt horrible about all the wrong things that she had done. It just like flooded her mind. And she was thinking, why should I do this? But I know, I came here for this. And so she, with a, as best as I can remember, some just commitment to Krishna, just like Draupadi. Both hands. Hey Krishna, hey Govinda. Like that kind of experience. That was after 3/4 of her chanting was completed. And then all of a sudden, she felt Krishna just picked her right up. And she was very, very clear. It wasn't anything other than Krishna just picked her up. And she saw distinct from herself was the mind, and how the mind was beating her up and beating her up and beating her up and beating her up, and it had nothing to do with her. That remorse, that regret for the mistakes that she had made, that was purifying. But so then her conclusion was, the success wasn't just that Krishna picked me up. The success was that there's this relationship with Krishna was very, very vivid throughout the whole thing. And that's what she had come for, is to make that experience of her relationship, deepening her relationship with Krishna. So be watchful for indicators that Krishna may give in the course of the time we're spending together. How the path back to Him, the doorway may open, or the path may be indicated, and a transformation. Go back to this earlier point, we have to be ready for some symbolic death. If we just want to hold on to the routine, then we don't need to be here, because we have a routine. So we're here to let go of that routine, the comfort zone space that we're in, and explore more deeply our relationship with Krishna. So be prepared for Krishna to invite you, send you another invitation, come closer to me, yet further, and be prepared to respond with a yes, and go there, trusting in Krishna, even if it means, you know, it's not familiar territory. On the same note, one devotee shared with me after one of these experiences that when they were chanting the, you know, the extra number of rounds a day, it was either a 32 or a 40, 64 round day for them, they chanted with such ease and facility that they had never experienced it before in the association devotees, in that all of, in that same mood of approaching the holy name. And when they got back, it continued, the joyfulness of chanting the holy name. But then they experienced something else that was sad, and that was that their relationships that they have with devotees is very phony and shallow. Because of that light from the holy name, they could see what they were doing and the interactions and the dealings that they had with others was made them feel very dissatisfied within themselves. And that was causing pain. So now what to do? Go back to chant lousy so that, or chant without the same intensity so that you can feel okay about the shallow relationships. But then you have to address, so one thing leads to another thing. But it's a journey to Krishna. So be ready. See the indicators that Krishna gives you. Be tuned in to the Krishna channel. This is on this point of a symbolic death. Leaving behind something and experiencing another something. More cherished, coveted something, more something that's really real. So that's the third point. The fourth point is there's this I'm borrowing from a Sachinandan Swami. I think I should do this right now is a lot of what this, the whole format is just, is basically following a blueprint, certainly personalized, but a blueprint of Sachinandan Swami, because he's done probably several hundred of these, and having done so many, he understands clearly what components are very helpful for people. And so the credit goes to him, and I'm just following like a puppy dog in his footsteps. He uses the term liminal space or borderline space, or what's the term that Bhakti Tirtha Swami was used? On the edge?
He's,
huh?
Cutting edge.
No, that's he would speak a little about himself, that he would, at least the impression that I have, is some cutting edge means like really good, but he lived his life on the edge, like, you know, he lived his life in that borderline, you know, out of the ordinary, not the cookie cutter guy, but the person who was, he would take risks. Boy, would he take risks. He risked his life again and again and again, but that was how he lived his life. Or a term that Gopal Bhatta Prabhu uses is entrepreneurial. But entrepreneurial means a risk taker. Entrepreneurship means you're very careful, but you take risks and you make investments. And he says he wants to write a book, the entrepreneurial Srila Prabhupada. Not in the sense of a businessman, but in the sense of he would take great risks for Krishna and his spiritual master. So that same type of idea, it's another way of saying, you know, get out of the comfort zone. Go beyond the comfort zone into this space where it's not just the everyday thing. We've come together to... We joined the Hare Krishna movement and we're chanting Hare Krishna and we're here because we want to chant Hare Krishna better. We want to go more deeply into that experience of chanting the holy name. So you can't, don't stay in the comfort zone. Go into that borderline space or liminal space. There should be some expectation of, by Krishna's mercy, some transformation. And then on the other side of that transformation, a ongoing improved quality of chanting. That's transformation. It's internal. Go to another level of chanting. And I'm going to introduce another one of his terms, which is gaps. We all know what this one is. There's what we understand theoretically and what our day-to-day life really is. We read from Prabhupada's teachings what pure devotional service is. We accept it. And we don't perform it. We don't live it. Sometimes we try for it. Sometimes we try less for it. Sometimes we try more for it. But we're not trying to our peak capacity. And there's a gap between what we know, what we want, what we desire, what we aspire for, and the level that we're on. So this message is close the gap. Go into that borderline space and make this deeper commitment to Krishna and be ready to receive the helping hand that Krishna extends to you and trust it and go there and become, go to another level of chanting, just say it that way. For me personally, there's an image. When I'll share this, when going to Jagannath Puri for the first time with a group of devotees, leading a prakrama or a yatra in Jagannath Puri, visiting the places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and his associates' pastimes and all those wonderful places in Jagannath Puri. It was a very powerful experience for me personally. Just like I was there for 7-8 days, maybe more, just immersed in Lord Chaitanya's Leela in Jagannath Puri. And then with all the devotees went to those places and just emoted what I had experienced, what those experiences impacted upon me and what the Leelas were. And as I was going through that experience, there were two things that were most outstanding. And that is the mood of Lord Chaitanya and his associates uniformly was great eagerness to achieve the goal of love for Krishna. And seemingly contradictory, almost opposite, cancel out that one, kind of opposite, was extreme degrees of humility. Just overwhelming humility. You know, Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami and all the great associate Pratapa Rudra Maharaj. It's so humble. So when you think of someone who's humble, they think like, you know, somebody that's cowering in the corner and trembling, and that meek and humble picture. So they felt like that about themselves. At the same time, their intense eagerness to achieve the goal was indomitable. And they're not at all contradictory. It's because they're both, at least for Lord Chaitanya's associates, they're fully on the spiritual platform. And so one completely complements the other, and vice versa. The other completely complements the one. Because one who's feeling oneself very, very humble, in a spiritual conception, their eagerness to reach Krishna is unlimited. And one whose eagerness to reach Krishna is unlimited, towards themselves, they're feeling very humble. They're feeling the greatness of Krishna. And in the sense of the greatness of Krishna, their own self-image is insignificant. Like, for example, we know when Lord Chaitanya, there's a leela of Lord Chaitanya entering into Jagannath Puri, and the leela was that Lord Nityananda broke his danda. This happened just before, and threw it into the river. Baginadi River. So he threw it into the river, and Lord Chaitanya asked, "Where's my danda?" "Oh my Lord, you fell in a swoon of ecstasy and you fell in your danda and broke in three places, and I don't know what happened to it." Lord Chaitanya said, "But that's my only worldly possession. My only possession is my danda, and you lost it. I can't travel with you. I'm going alone to Puri. You go ahead of me, all of you associates, you go ahead of me and I'll wait here. Or I'll go ahead of you and you wait here, but I'm not traveling with you anymore." It's the leela. They said, "Oh no, you go." So he went. So he went alone, so that he could enter the Jagannath temple alone. And when he saw Lord Jagannath, because of his intense eagerness to see the Lord, he saw Krishna standing there holding his flute and threefold bending, not Lord Jagannath like this, but he saw Krishna, and he ran toward Krishna with his arms outstretched like this, such eagerness. He was overwhelmed with ecstasy in this eagerness, and he fell to the ground unconscious. Or same when he was going by the ocean and he saw Chatak Parvat, a sand dune. But he didn't see a sand dune. He saw Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill, I'm in Vrindavan. And he ran, same. Great eagerness. Unrestrained eagerness. The devotees ran after Lord Chaitanya to capture him, but they couldn't because he's Lord Chaitanya. He's the Supreme Lord. He can overcome all others running, as it says in Ishopanishad. But he fell to the ground unconscious, just overwhelmed with the ecstasy of finding Krishna in Govardhan Hill. So, to overcome gaps, there has to be a very, very strong eagerness. But in strong eagerness, our effort is, it's not like the Olympics or something. You know, we're competing with others, or we want to win that gold medal and we want to cross the finish line and something. It's get the mercy of Krishna. It's this receiving, but with indomitable enthusiasm. Then the gaps will be bridged. The last item for making effective use of our time together at this retreat is the devotees who are with us. We're in a community or a sangha of like-minded souls who are seeking the same thing we're seeking. And so the sharing, even just being with one another, but even more powerful is sharing with one another. I think that was one of the two or three strongest things that came out of the Japa retreat in Sharanagati. Practically everybody said, after sharing, whether it was a peak or a valley that they had experienced, they wouldn't have been able to experience that without the association of the devotees. These are people that have been chanting for, some of them, for 40 years. So the association of devotees is very powerful. So share from the heart. There'll be sessions when we're being asked to share some experience, some realization, some prayer, or something like that. But in informal circumstances also, you'll find it'll help your experience at the retreat to be more effective. Now, a few other items. I brought a few props along with me because I've realized something about myself. I have a visual side, certainly have a verbal side, but a visual side. The chanting, if done by a materialist, will help them to increase their material desires or their hankering for material things. Prabhupada gives the example, like watering a garden, the weeds will also grow. So when we're taking part in a retreat like this, it's very important to have, we're going to have a little session on sankalpa or determination. Sankalpa is like, I first heard this term in relation to the mind. Sankalpa, vikalpa. The mind has these functions of accepting and rejecting. Accepting and rejecting. And it doesn't stop. It's accepting and rejecting and accepting and rejecting. And even Prabhupada described, as the mind is formulating a plan, I'd like to have some happiness in my life. And I think if I did the following things, I would find happiness in my life. That's the mind making this accepting plan. But even as the mind is making the accepting plan, there's another voice that says, no, not exactly like that. You should do it a little more like that. The rejecting of that plan and formulating of another plan, and that plan starts to grow and develop. And yeah, but maybe if it was done a little bit differently, and maybe I should go talk to my friend who's got another mind, and that will influence my sankalpa to go a little bit over here. And that's riding on the chariot of the mind, accepting and rejecting. So with the retreat, it's good to have a sankalpa of, just like we were asked at the beginning of our retreat, what is it that you're expecting from this retreat? And it's not like we're placing our demand before Krishna, but there's something in the heart, something that helps focus our attention. The desires or anticipations that we have. So those desires or anticipations that we have help keep the mind from straying and wandering and help keep the mind focused. So here's a prop. This is a magnifying glass. So when you hold the magnifying glass, maybe some of you did this when you were kids, there's the sun, you hold the magnifying glass on a piece of paper or some straw, you hold it in the right place, and all the light of the sun focuses in one spot, and you got a fire. Yes? You've all done this. Okay. Sankalpa. The potency of the holy name channeled through this very specific spiritual aspiration. Not that Krishna is obliged because we, you know, we're stamping our little foot, but a spiritual aspiration. It helps to focus the energy or the potency of Krishna's holy name to bring us closer to him, or whatever the particular sankalpa that you would like to establish for yourself for this retreat. We can have a little time at when I stop talking where we can have a little write down a sankalpa, little exercise. You're going to make your little magnifying glass for yourself. So I'll as we're going along in the weekend, I'll just hold this up and it'll say so many things just by showing it to you. This is our mind focusing upon a spiritual goal. We'll speak about more elaborately what happens when the mind doesn't have a spiritual goal and what happens when the mind does have a spiritual goal. And can the mind that's now material help you reach Krishna? Yes, if it's connected to a spiritual goal. And otherwise, the mind is your greatest enemy. The source of all material existence, for that matter. And the varieties of material existence, the varieties of suffering, born out of the mind. So, when we're chanting, these are theme points that I'm bringing up in this introductory session, be present with the holy name. And that means the soul with Krishna, but it also means the mind, because you can be physically just like, you can be physically with another person, but not paying any attention to them. That's kind of rude. But, you know, if your mind is on something else and they're speaking, and you may have to say, I'm sorry, I didn't capture what you said because my mind was on something else. I wasn't with you, I was with something else. So be present with the holy name. Krishna has sent us an invitation. Now we'll be with Krishna. Let's be present with Krishna. Bring the mind to focus on Krishna. And this is going to help because it's going to resonate with you personally, you know, for the next 5 days. Do this very carefully. And if you know, the focus doesn't come, if the fire doesn't come right away, be patient. Keep giving proper care and attention to the exercise of focusing the mind upon Krishna, being present with Krishna. The sun is powerful. The magnifying glass will start the fire. There may be some obstruction in our heart, and that may be something that has to be addressed also. How this process works, I'll tell two little stories quickly connected to the holy name acts as a touchstone, Nama Chintamani. You know this verse, Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. So Chintamani. We used in Sharanagati, we used a metaphor of for transformation, when you think of transformation, like going from the caterpillar going to the butterfly is the classic transformation. And what, how does that happen? You know, biologists have tried to figure out how does it happen. So there's some kind of a cell. Prabhupada even speaks about this, where, you know, if one can imagine, I want to fly. So there's some capacity within the caterpillar. I want to fly. And somehow that imagination of I want to fly sends the body into all these different changes. And then there's this gestation or cocoon stage, and he comes out a butterfly. So I was speaking about butterflies. In fact, we happen to have one right here. This is another one of our images. To go from something that we were before, a little caterpillar crawling on the ground, to a butterfly. So this particular image, the other one wasn't as cute as this one, the one we had in Sharanagati, but a devotee named Nitai Priya, very, very sincere, kind of creative, enthusiastic, bubbly young devotee, really caught on to that image. So I noticed when we started our 64-round day, everybody was chanting together, and she didn't last too long. After some time, she got up and started walking around. And then she went for a japa walk around. There's a lake in Sharanagati. And she said she walked for about, I forget the distance, but it was like 45 minutes around the lake. And almost the whole way around the lake was a butterfly. And the butterfly was like leading her down the path. And she thought, oh, this is coincidence. And then she thought, no, maybe it's not a coincidence. And then whenever her mind would go away from the chanting of the holy name, the butterfly would come and fly right in her face, capture her attention, and then fly a distance and keep this, the whole path. And then around the corner of the lake and down the other side. And as soon as her mind went away from the holy name, or the devotees that attended one of the japa retreats that was in upstate New York. Some of you may have heard this one, this narration already, but it was in the spring, it was in April, and bears come out in the mountains sometimes. So one devotee was sitting there by a lake, chanting japa, thinking, what if a bear came? Then they were thinking, no, come on, just chant the holy name. But their mind wouldn't go off the bear that might come. They would think, well, if the bear did come, what would I do? Should I? So their mind went into what they would do if the bear came, and that maybe I should jump in the lake. No, but bears can swim too, and maybe I should just freeze because if bears see you run. And, you know, this was bear consciousness. And this went on for some time. And after some time, suddenly it just stopped. And they were able to chant the holy name. That evening, the devotees, because they were observing Mona, one devotee who was on the other side of the lake, saw a bear approaching them. And they didn't say anything because it was Mona. They didn't know if they should break silence or not. And the bear, it was a cub bear, because that's okay, but you know, if the mama bear sees the cub bear maybe in a difficulty, that's when you really got a problem. So the cub bear came and hung around and looked at the devotee chanting japa and didn't, you know, this was rummaging around and after some time left. So where are we? Better to have a spiritual purpose or determination, sankalpa. Because if the mind goes into other places, who knows what might happen? And sure enough, it often does. If the mind starts going to this thing, and then to that thing, and the next thing, and then you're so far away from the holy name, you wonder, how did this happen? What happened? Because we weren't focused. Mind is very powerful. Desires are like, they're coming from the mind, they're like doors to so many different, well, we know from our Vedic teachings, all of our past experiences, not only in this life, in previous lifetimes, are stored in the mind. And as we, if the mind, if we're attached to some of those things, then they can suddenly appear in the mind. I had this experience during the Ojai retreat. I was really looking for, really looking forward to that retreat. I was like jacked up. I didn't even realize how excited I was. And when we sat down to do our 64 round day, it's like a rocket just took off. And I found that without even thinking about what I was going to do, my mind started going to the Shikshastakam prayers. Like, you know, the first 8 rounds was on the first Shikshastakam verse. And then the next 8 rounds was on the second Shikshastakam verse. And I was feeling like, I've been here before. I've done this before many, many times. I'm just going down a path that I've been down so many times before. Some impression somewhere propelled me into that space. So, you know, what's back there may not be previous lifetimes of spiritual practice. It may be previous lifetimes of garbage. So be prepared. And stay focused on the holy name. Stay with your sankalpa. But, you know, impurities that may be needed to be eliminated by the pure holy name, that's what we want. And we want a transformation to take place. So that on the other side of the experience, we're closer to Krishna. Our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead is more vivid and real and palpable. I have one more prop. He's over here. It's Lord Chaitanya. Compliments of one of our retreat attendees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Here he is. Here's Lord Chaitanya, along with Lord Nityananda, who's come to give us the pure holy name. Not just chanting, because we're chanting. They want to give us the pure holy name. And he's shown us by his example how, what's the price for the pure holy name? It's faith in the pure holy name. Faith in Krishna. And when faith becomes very strong, this is Lord Chaitanya, running towards Krishna, reaching out to Krishna. Krishna, please, give me your shelter. And if we can enter into that enthusiasm to attained Krishna's shelter in the form of his pure holy name, surely he will reciprocate. Just like a small child extending their arms and running towards their parent. They can be crying, they can be laughing, they can be giggling, they can be tripping and falling and whatever it is. What's the parent going to do? They're so happy to receive their child. And if that's there in a person, what to speak of Krishna? So the sankalpa is something that helps you focus on that feature of your chanting and your relationship with Krishna in the form of his holy name. It will help you get there to that eagerness, focus, and very effective, transforming, powerful experience to this weekend. So, you ready to do your part? Prema Trungadi is going to perform a certain role during the retreat, and I'm going to ask her to do that part of it right now, some part of it right now.